Mark chapter 2. Find Mark chapter 2. Wow. Now that was powerful. I've used that story many times. I've known about that all of these years, but I don't think I'd ever seen it. And so, powerful. Thank you, whoever arranged that. And Mark chapter 2. We're continuing on with a series of messages to the cross and beyond. To the cross and beyond, which we'll cover on through Easter. The life and times of Jesus Christ. Remember when we talked about why did Jesus come? You can boil it down to this. He came to preach. He came to teach. He came to heal. We're going to see an example of that. You follow along as I begin with verse 1 of chapter 2. When he had come back to Capernaum, several days afterwards, it was heard that he was at home. Capernaum's there near the shores of Galilee. Even though Jesus grew up in Nazareth, Capernaum came sort of a ministry center, sort of a hub of operation for him in that northern area. And many were gathered together, so there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, there's that word immediately that Mark loved using. Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning, that they within themselves said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." And when he had got up, he immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone. And they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would add your blessings to the reading of your word, and may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be pleasing in thy sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. The title of this message is "Once Paralyzed, Now Energized." Once paralyzed, now energized. And I think many of us this morning need to hear this message. In many ways, spiritually speaking, socially speaking, we've become paralyzed this past several months. But it's time to become energized, especially from a spiritual standpoint. The church is going to come out of this. And what's going to happen to the church? I think even the experts are baffled. But the church needs to come forth energized, energized, and we see this in the healing of a very sick man on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. So I'm going to issue three challenges to you over the next 30 minutes. I want you to take these down, remember these. Three challenges based on this passage of Scripture that I just read. The first one is this: never underestimate the destructive nature of sin. Let me say that again, just to make sure that we all get it. Never underestimate the destructive nature of sin. wait a minute, preacher, some of you may be thinking, are you implying that this sickness or all sickness is a result of sin in a person's life? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying, although that was a prevailing thought in that Jewish culture of the day. For example, a couple of examples when Jesus encountered a blind man. And remember the question asked, who sinned? This man or his parents? John chapter 9, who sinned? This man or his parents? That he ended up in this situation. Jesus said, neither. It happened so that the work of God might be revealed. And then even before that, in John chapter 5, Jesus healed a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. He saw him later at the temple, and he said, stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. What's the case here? We have a man that is paralyzed. We don't know for sure what happened, but there's some things that we can be sure about. Listen very carefully. It wasn't meant to be that way in the beginning, pre-fall. And it won't be that way in the end. You understand what I'm saying? When we go to heaven and we come down and occupy the new earth, there will not be such a condition. And don't you look forward to that. If you know loved ones and people who have been sick and ill for so long, and they pass on, they've been released from that old earthly body. In many ways, it is a relief, is it not? Knowing that that earthly, temporal sickness is over. It wasn't meant to be that way in the beginning, and it won't be that way in the end. The fall of man is what brought it in. When man fell, nature fell, sickness entered in, Satan became the prince of the power of the air. Restoration will stamp that out. In the meantime, we live with sin's destructiveness. Sin's destructiveness. Sometimes it is physical. Remember what David said? When I remain silent, my bones faced it away. Some people's sin leads to physical destruction. Sometimes, always sin leads to spiritual destruction. And as I like to say from time to time, one of my favorite sayings, sin will take you further than you ever intended to go, keep you longer than you ever intended to stay, and cost you more than you ever intended to pay. So as I read about this paralytic and I see what's going on in his life, it is a reminder to understand the destructiveness of sin. And our only hope is Jesus Christ. How do people make it without Jesus Christ? Don't you wonder? It's a burden. I'll talk about that more later. But how do people make it without Christ? Without knowing that better days are ahead. Life on this earth is only temporal. We can look toward to eternity in heaven. Jesus is our only hope. So, we've got that down. That's a short point number one. Sin's destructiveness. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Secondly, a more practical, pragmatic point. Never underestimate your need for others and their need for you. This is so important, folks. And this is what I think that we've struggled with over this past year or so. And I hope that we've turned the corner on this and we're going to be able to reassemble. We're going to be able to make home visits and hospital visits and get together and encourage and uplift our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we should never underestimate our need for others and their need for us. Which brings us really to the heart of this story. And isn't this a wonderful story? If you grew up in church and you were in Sunday school as a child, remember back in the days of the old felt board where they used, anybody remember that? Yeah. I guarantee you that this story was in there somewhere. And picture yourself. Wouldn't you like to have been a part of that crowd? And, you know, Jesus is speaking, and suddenly there's a commotion above, and little bits of stuff start falling from the roof. And next thing you know, a ray of sunlight breaks through the roof as they prepare to lower this man in the presence of Jesus. I want to preach to you now the sermon within the sermon, because there is so much to learn from these four men. This will help you. I want you to notice the first thing that we can learn from them is they were available. They were available. These guys could have been somewhere else, right? But they were there, and perhaps it was an inconvenience to them. Perhaps some of them had to make a sacrifice to be there with their sick friend instead of somewhere else. And I'm thinking of the Good Samaritan. And we're going to talk about the Good Samaritan here in a few weeks between now and Easter. He was available. And God wants people that are available. In the kingdom, I want you to notice, and listen to me very carefully, ability is far overrated. Availability is far underrated. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, so we get someone that is ready to make an impact in the ministry, and we want to prepare them, and we want to school them, and I think that's important. I believe strongly in that. And I am blessed that I've been able to learn so much over the years, whether it be in church or educational institutions or whatever it is. But I want to tell you, availability trumps ability every time. Would you agree with me on that? I promise you it's true as I've observed what has happened over the years. I think of the disciples. Who would have thought that these fishermen and tax collectors, just common guys, Jesus could have picked men with far more ability to do the job, but he picked men that were available, that dropped their nets immediately and went and followed him and became fishers of men. These men were available. Notice secondly, are you getting this down? This is important. I'm going to tell you what, as I prepared this, I was convicted and I was challenged. And that's what happens as we prepare these sermons. They were burdened. They were burdened. They couldn't just let this guy lay there without doing something. Here was Jesus, their only hope. They had heard that he had gone about preaching and teaching and healing, and there was hope. Here was the opportunity to see their friend healed, and they had a great burden in their heart. I think I might have shared this story, I don't know, but years ago when I was serving in Kentucky, there was a man who had led hundreds of people to the Lord. He was a layperson, not a trained minister, a layperson. In fact, he had worked for TVA, and he was retired, living there in western Kentucky, and he was known for leading hundreds of people to Christ. And I heard him speak one time at a function, and they said, "How did it start? What did you do? What is your secret?" You know what he said? "I prayed for a burden." I'm going to issue you a couple of prayer challenges. And believe you me, that old thumb's pointing back at me. Number one, I dare you to pray this. God, whatever burdens you, let it burden me. You think you can do that? Can I do that? God, whatever burdens you, burden me. And second, God, help me to see people the way you see them. Help me to put on those spirit-filled, blood-stained glasses and say, God, I want to see people the way that you see them. The world sees that guy as a loser. The world sees that guy as a failure. The world sees that guy as a hopeless person. But that's not the way you see him at all. That's not the way God sees him that way. But God doesn't look at you that way. These men were burdened. Pray for a burden. The church has to regain a burden if we're going to see things turn around and people get saved and lives changed. Next, I didn't even tell you this up front. It's ABCEF, right? Anybody figured that out yet? Available, burden. What's the next one, you know? I love this one. It's pertinent. They were creative. They were creative. Against all odds, they brought the man. They couldn't get him through the door, right? The crowd was too big. Lesser people would have just said, forget this. We tried. We gave it our best. We're heading out of here. We're going back to the house. No! Somebody spoke up and said, I've got an idea. Let's climb up to the top of the roof, cut a hole in the roof, lower the man down. They got creative, didn't they? Folks, let me tell you something. This is where the American church is right now. You realize that? It's as if the crowd has made it nearly impossible to get through conventional ways. So we're going to have to find a way to cut a hole in the roof and reach people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? People are dying, going to hell without a relationship with Christ. But let me tell you what. The likelihood of a massive return back to the church at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock on Sunday morning is not going to happen. Oh, preacher, how can you say that? Don't say that. When this is all over, the buildings are going to be bubbling over with people again. I hope so. It can happen, but it might not. And it's probably not going to happen. So the question is, do we throw in the towel? No. We get creative. We've already had to get creative the last, it's not a substitute for in person, but a lot of people are watching that weren't watching otherwise. I don't know the answer. There are people a lot smarter than me. They're going to figure this out, but I hope it's figured. God has an answer. Do you see what I mean by that? If we say, y'all come, they probably aren't. They're working on Sunday mornings. They're busy. They're out of the habit, but they're still lost. How do we reach them? We got to get creative. Find a way. There are lots of ways. We live in a highly technological world. People are going to figure this out. If they say, I want Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to come to Christ. I see the need, but I'm not coming to your church on Sunday morning. Do we just toss them to the wayside? I have questions today. Answers will have to come later. We are going to have to get creative. And it's happening. If you watch and you key up with this kind of thing, it's happening, Weekday Sunday school classes, online classes, meetings. It's happened, but it's going to happen at an increasing rate if we're going to make a dent, okay? Enough on that. I could talk more about that, but I don't think the church has done a very good job at that. I'm not pointing fingers at this church. I don't think our denomination has done nearly as good a job as we could. I can say that now after 30 years. We get stuck in our ways. We get caught in a rut. We keep doing the same things over and over and expecting a different result. We've got to get creative. There's another factor in this. I'm talking about these men. This is the sermon within the sermon, right? There's the big sermon. There's the little sermon. We're in the middle of the little sermon. Guess what else they were? They were determined. They were determined. That can maybe go without saying, but let's say it anyway. I've already said lesser men would have turned away, but they didn't. Why? You want to know why? Because they had spizzarinkdom. Did you know that's a word? Somebody, y'all got your phones now, you can fact check me. Google spizzarinkdom. It is a word. What do you think it means? It means stick-to-itiveness, right? That's another. I don't think that's a word. That's a bunch of words grumbled together, strung together. They had spizzarinkdom. They had stick-to-itiveness. They had determination. We've got to regain that, don't we? My wife and I have watched a lot of, I've read lots of biographies, watched lots of documentaries. And I want to tell you, success for most people never came easy. And you know a common denominator among all of these men, women, boys, girls, athletes, military people, business people? Determination. 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 I've heard stories of people looking for jobs and people calling up 10, 15, 20, 25 times to try to break through and gain an audience. Are we that determined to reach a lost person? They frown at us and we run for cover, don't we? Got to be determined. We're not done yet, though. A, B, C, D. Guess what else they were? I love every one of these. I can't say which one is best. We'll find out which one is most important in a moment. But E stands for what? You know what E stands for? Expectant. E stands for expectant. That means they went to Jesus and they went to all this trouble because they expected something to happen. During normal times over the years, we used to almost joke, although it's not funny, you know, when it came time for the invitation, people would gather their things and slip on their coats and prepare. Okay, just a couple more minutes and we're out of here. Wait a minute, how do you know? Maybe we're not. Maybe this is going to go on a little bit longer. Maybe it won't happen here at the altar. It'll happen in your pew. Maybe it'll happen in your Sunday school class when we're done here. But did you come here today? Are you listening today? Do you really expect anything? Did you come here to be entertained and inspired, but really you're going to leave the same way you came? If you pray for rain, are you leaving your house with umbrella in hand? I want to see more of this. I want to live my last third of life, Lord willing, if I make it, in an attitude and atmosphere of expectancy. God's going to do something today. These men expected something to happen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what we imagine or think, according to the power which is at work through him. You think when Moses held that staff out over the Red Sea, didn't he expect something to happen? He wasn't sure, but he expected something to happen. You think when Abraham raised that knife to sacrifice that precious son, Isaac, he expected God to do something, didn't he? He wasn't sure what, but he knew something was in the midst. Did you come here expecting anything? Are you going to wake up in the morning expecting anything? As you look at the future of this church, and the search committee is at work, and a new road is ahead, are you expecting? Oh, preacher, I don't know. It's just tough times. I mean, ain't what it used to be. I mean, this people ain't going to church like they used to go. We're living in... What's this? You got to move beyond that. Got to move beyond what I call stinking thinking into a new level of expectation. But there's one more. A, B, C, D, E. Oh, you know what it is, don't you? What does F stand for? Absolutely. Look in verse 5. And Jesus seeing their what? And Jesus seeing their availability said, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus seeing that they had a burden in their hearts said, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus seeing how creative they were said, son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus, seeing how determined they were, Jesus, seeing how expectant they were, no, that's not what the Bible says, is it? I mean, he was impressed with all of those things. Jesus, seeing their what? Faith, said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Folks, this is what separates us and defines us as believers. It's a faith venture. We enter into this relationship by faith. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." Faith. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. All of these things are important. All of these things. I want to be available. I want to be burdened. I want to be creative. I want to be determined. I want to be expectant. But most of all, it is a matter of faith. Do you have faith? Do you believe? Nothing is impossible for him who believes. Are you getting that message today? Are you going to leave here with that message stamped in your mind and upon your heart? Nothing is impossible for him who believes. The just shall live by faith. Preacher, the facts are, I see the facts. I go turn on my TV and I hear all about the facts. But preacher, and the facts generally lead to what? Fear. Fear permeates. Oh, but I just don't, I hear what you're saying, but I'm just not feeling it. You got to move beyond the facts, the fear, and the feelings, and enter into the realm of faith. And you can't do that. It's not your faith that you're generating. It's the faith of God that is working through you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Never underestimate your need for others, their need for you. One final point. We're doing great on time, by the way. It's a good thing. I'll try to get done speaking before you get done listening. Here's a third one. You ready for this? Never underestimate the capability of Jesus Christ. We're going to close this message. We talked about the characteristics of the men, didn't we? A, B, C, D, E, F. Let's talk about the demonstrated character of Christ. And then we're going to be done. I love this. Look in verse 8. Of all the many things that made Jesus unique, because he was 100% man, right? He was 100% God, but he was 100% man. And immediately, Jesus, what's that word next? Aware. Oh, I love that word. Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning, said, "Why are you reasoning these things in your heart?" Jesus was aware. Do you know Jesus was a walking instrument of awareness? Did you know that? Everywhere he went, he was totally aware. He was 100% man, 100% God, but he was walking down that road to Jericho, and he was aware of something different. And lo and behold, there's Zacchaeus up in a tree, right? There's Bartimaeus begging over to the side of the road. There's a woman tending the well, and on. There's 5,000 hungry people that need food. Awareness. We need to develop an awareness, not only of our friends, but our enemies. I'm telling you, I don't know what else to say about this. This is where I'm hoping the Holy Spirit is just going to, give us a boost and become aware of those around you. The servers at the restaurants, the cashier at the grocery store, the person at the convenience store, your family. I mean, it's become aware. Have that awareness, that sense of what needs to happen. Look around you. The church needs to have that too, right? Corporately. Jesus had it. Secondly, it's in verse 10. I love this. We're two A's here. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has what? Authority. Jesus had a double whammy there, if you will. He had awareness. He had authority. Authority that was passed along from the Father to him. And guess what? Passed along from him to us. He said, you're going to do even greater things than I have done because I'm going back to the Father and the Holy Spirit is coming. And the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit is here. If you know him as your Savior, he's living within you. He's certainly at work around us. So here's another encounter of Jesus on that trek to the cross. Never underestimate sin's destructiveness. Don't make light of it. It is not funny. It is destructive. It is a killer emerging from the pit of hell. Never underestimate your need for others, their need for you. But knowing above all else the capability of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the fact that you went to the cross and you died on our behalf. You shed your precious blood. You took on the sin load. The only perfect man who ever lived was the one that took on this sin. Help us, Lord. Help us to leave here different than when we came. Help us to live a life of expectancy, knowing that we can do greater things than even you have done through the power of the Spirit that has worked within us. Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name.